You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. You can help get the Henday built.
The fact that Fernando Tatis is now facing an 80-game suspension after violating the MLB's performance-enhancing drug policy.
Huge struds, huge, and detrimental to the Padres and the NL West. And like Connor was saying, they want to go big and try to win it all. But also, Struddy, disappointing, because this is one of the most exciting young players in MLB, and I know a lot of kids look up to him. I know a lot of people love to watch him and the plays he makes and the power he generates at the dish. But Struds, when you have a guy like that of that stature going down with PEDs for half a season, it's disappointing ultimately, because it feels like he let a lot of people down. His teammates, you're right, it starts there, his family, his friends, the fan base, and then baseball. I mean, I know everybody wants to get a competitive edge, pardon me. I know everybody wants to do everything in their power to make them that little bit better, to push them over the top. But Struds, I mean, this is nothing new in baseball with performance-enhancing drugs, and now we have one of the brightest young stars in the game testing positive. Totally disappointing. And I mean, you know, some people could look at it and say, well, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Well, that's terrible, especially in baseball, after all of the guys that have been caught. And then the other side of it, too, is what's he doing? Why? How? Like, it's just, to me, it's dumb at this point, given the track record in baseball. And I know, you know, hockey and baseball both have their own drug abuse policies and substance and PED policies, and Shorty, you went through all of that. Like, these guys are testing you randomly. Sometimes you know when it's happening. It's disappointing to me. And then monumental for baseball and obviously for the Padres. But Struds, man, like, you've been through the drug testing regimen. You probably could shed some light on how it is performed, at least in hockey.
Yeah, and what happens is that when I was playing, I think it's very similar. Is you get tested 2 to 4 times a season, and it's random. So you can be anywhere. You can be at home on the road, and you'll just walk in and train and be like, "Hey, drug testing, go over and check in. You got to show your license." And then they have to watch the urine come out of your unit, like, mm-hmm. so they don't want anyone, like, you know, you can't go into a stall and get out a urine bag and, you know, drop whatever you want in there. Right? They've got to see it. So
right.
That was always a challenge, because you know I think it's pretty well documented. I get a little gun shy in that situation. So I remember Fernando and I would have a couple of beers to try to just relax, if you will.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Nothing like,
you gotta do
nothing like
you
that. Post-practice, 2 beers just to try to... Why are you having beers? I'm trying to... I have to pee, and I'm nervous. Oh, okay. That doesn't really make sense, but we get it, right? We all have our gun shy. So, yeah, so but what I always wonder when I hear that... So player X has tested positive for this. How much is the substance and how much is him as far as his talent on the field, right? And I know that people, oh, well, you know, he's still a good player. Yes, he is, but is he as good as he is now? Or is he different? Like, I always wonder that. And I think that in a lot of ways you're cheating yourself, because you don't really know how good you are without it. And yes, they are talented. And I'm not saying he wouldn't be a major leaguer, but we'd be as where he's at now. And I think that's the doubt I don't like that gets cast into these situations, on top of all of the other things related
right.
to, you know, letting people down and all that.
Now his reputation's tarnished too. He's a young player, and it's going to dog him throughout the rest of his career. People, when he has success now, when he does return, will still question his successes, say, like you said, how much of it is him, the natural player with his God-given abilities and gifts and having the bloodlines of ball players before him, and how much of it is him maybe trying to put himself over the top with PEDs and, you know, he'll always be compared to before he was caught with his stats to after the 80-game suspension. It's not good all around, not good. Study to me when we see these disappointing. I mean, even in football, I'm watching DeAndre Hopkins with the Arizona Cardinals missing the first 6 games of the year, and whatever excuse they throw out there now, I have a hard time believing in any sport, to be honest with you. It's just we're at that point now where it's hard to believe, guys, unfortunately. The sports fan in me has that natural instinct with everything we've seen throughout the world of professional sports.
Yeah, and I think there's got to be an awareness. If you're going to take something, doesn't matter what it is, like something you get at a natural food store, you have to get it tested. And remember,
right.
The NHL, I'm sure they have the same policy. I mean, this is a number of years ago, but they'll test your stuff for you. Right, if you're taking any kind of something, we'll test it to make sure that it's clear, because they don't want you to have, I was just taken from here. Well, you know, maybe there was something in there that was illegal. Mm-hmm. Talking about Tom Guzzola. Tommy, the Ravens, Baltimore Ravens, they have one of the seemingly most unimportant records in the history of football, but you can't get over it.
Yeah, 21-game winning streak in the preseason. I think it's funny, Struds, because really preseason hockey, baseball, basketball, football, like who gives a you know what? But here we are with the Ravens, you know, which have had good runs in recent years, and we'll see if they can bounce back with a solid season this year and stay healthy and all of that. We had Kadri Ismail on yesterday to preview the Ravens season, but 21 wins in a row in the preseason, the most useless record in all of sports, I would say, but nonetheless something to kind of throw around. And the Ravens, I think tongue-in-cheek, put it out there yesterday when they won the game against the Titans. They wrote, "The streak lives on their Twitter, but who gives a blank when it comes to preseason wins?
Yeah, do you think the team, like, do you think they want to continue it?
No, I don't even think the players care. In this case, like, you've got how many guys in camp, 80, 90 guys in camp. Like, these are just guys that want to make the team. And if they win, great. But I'm sure that more of these guys that are in camp with the Ravens are focused on making sure that they have a good performance and that the coaching and management teams see them and what they can contribute, more so than if the Ravens actually win a preseason game, especially this early in the preseason. So I don't think they give two iotas about it.
A lot of text I want to get to, one just related to Tatis. Hey, guys, how would this affect Tatis' current contract? He just signed that mega deal. His performance is obviously enhanced, as the name of the drug says. Could the team void his contract? I don't know if he can void his contract, but he will be unpaid during this this sit-down, this 80-game sit-down. So obviously a pricey decision he made. Tommy, let's take a look at the Field of Dreams. Pretty cool place they create. And they added another little element that was received some good, some bad, the former Chicago Cubs announcer.
Yeah, legendary play-by-play man Harry Carey. We've seen Will Ferrell mock him and do his impression of him way back in the day on SNL, which was always great. I don't know. Like, it's getting mixed reviews because it was a Harry Carey hologram at the Field of Dreams game, and it was the seventh inning stretch. I watched the video. It looked pretty good. They had him in the play-by-play booth, and that's where it was. On TV, it looked really good. In the stadium, it seemed to look really good. The fans that were in the stands were singing along, but a lot of people are saying it was pretty creepy with how they did it. I understand that angle, but at the same time, Struds, like, we're talking about Field of Dreams here. Most of us have seen the movie. It's a classic. It's essentially a ghost story about old ball players who had passed away playing in this field in Iowa, essentially their ghosts playing baseball with one another again, all these legends of the game. And so even though this was kind of creepy and it was a hologram Harry Carey, we've seen holograms of Tupac. I think we've seen Michael Jackson holograms. So here we are seeing a broadcaster sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game on a broadcast on a field based on a movie where ghosts were playing baseball. It kind of fits the whole mold and theme of it all, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, listen, holograms are, I think they're neat, and what's coming down the pipe is amazing. I believe that there's a whole hologram concert somewhere in London, ABBA, that I'm planning to go see at some point, because obviously we all know ABBA's the greatest band of all time. But
yeah, sure.
When you put it together, I mean, I watched it. I don't know. I think it's neat. Like, they're trying to create something different, right? And the tradition of singing during the seventh inning stretch. I love it. I think it's absolutely awesome. But you still got to have something different. So if people don't like it, well, it's not the end of the world. It's not like you have to go and buy a copy of it, do you?
No, I think it was pretty cool. I mean, it'll make people and kids who obviously have no clue who the heck Harry Carey is or was, they'll go, well, who was that? What was that? And maybe they'll look into Harry Carey, and it adds to the allure and the legend of him. To me, it's pretty neat overall, and I understand, again, the creepy element, but at the same time, it's Field of Dreams. It's a movie about baseball ghosts, and you have the hologram of Harry Carey playing at the location where the movie was filmed. I think it was perfect in its own way. And I am curious about these holograms and the technology, and wonder what people will be able to do with it moving forward. And you know, maybe it's remembering loved ones, and with the way video technology works and how everything can be captured, who knows what they'll be able to do with this hologram technology. I think it's neat. I like what they did, and the creepy factor aside, I think it was absolutely perfect. So very cool to make it a special Field of Dreams game. Castrads are not doing it next year. There's going to be like a youth ball complex built around where they do this Field of Dreams game. And, you know, take a break from this thing, because it's like the outdoor games in hockey. We get bombarded with them now. And this has been 2 years in a row where we've had this Field of Dreams game, and I love the concept of it. It looks so cool. The Joey Votto storyline with the passing of his dad and how he watched Field of Dreams growing up with his dad and he'd play catch with them. I thought that was really neat too, but we take a break, maybe a year or two away, and then we revisit it. That would be perfect in my eyes.
Now, just quickly here, Tommy, we got into it earlier about generational hockey players. And, you know, over the last, I mean, I said I went 20 years. I outlined three generational hockey players. I said McDavid, Crosby, and Cale Makar. Now, whether you agree or disagree, it's not a big part of this question. What my question is, when you look at Connor Bedard, do you view him as a potential generational player?
Oh, Struds. You know what? I'll even say, like, is Makar generational yet? He's certainly on pace to be. He's amazing, and we've got a front row seat to that in the conference final, but you need to prove it year in, year out, and he's on his way to doing that. With Bedard, I need to see more. You know what? That's the honest answer. I need to see more. I have only caught him in clips and highlights of the things he did with the Regina Pats. I watched him in these World Junior games, and he's been a force, obviously, but you can question the level of competition this time around with so many guys not there that were eligible. I need to see more. This guy is a hell of a hockey player. I have a new respect for the way he shoots the puck, and now I can understand the vision he has on the ice. But for me to say I think he's a generational talent, I think would be immature, because I just haven't seen enough of him yet, and that's on me, Struddy. I have to watch more of him.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Like I mean, his elite release is elite. It is really, really good. I see him as generational for sure. And I kind of define a generational player as someone who, you know, kind of changed the game. Right, that evolves the game to another level. And
Struds, I'll ask you this.
Okay.
Are we throwing out the word generational talent too much now, do you find?
Well, I guess it depends on what you're defining it as. Like, I'm pretty clear in my definition. And, you know, maybe Ovechkin should be in there as well. But you think about the last 20 years, if you think there's four of them, you know, that's like, you know, someone said Forsberg. I don't think Forsberg was. Joe Sakic, I don't think, was. Steve Yzerman wasn't, right? Like, I'm pretty clear on what it is. Like, I'm not sure even Lidstrom was. He was just an amazing, amazing player.
Right.
Like, one of the greatest. And so I'm more careful. So I, you know, when I look at generational, they change it. So I look at, you know, Bobby Orr, Wayne Gretzky, Mary Lemieux, Sidney Crosby, Ovi. Probably have to go with Ovi, McDavid, Cale Makar. Like you can see the change. Like when Crosby came in a few years later, you can see the change in the players coming into the NHL.
Right.
Same with Connor. Connor, like there's a change. Even Cale Makar, there'll be a change. Or there was a change. Like there's no change when Chris Pronger came in. Like he is an amazing player. But yeah, I just know it's not that. It's just not the same, right? It's just not the same. And that's so. Is it harsh? I don't know if it's harsh, but it just only so many people can be the greatest of the greatest.
Yeah,
well, you know what I mean?
Struds, I mean, you got into the league and were playing at a time when Eric Lindros was supposed to be that too. He's not a generational talent, even though, I mean, he probably had one of the most monster impacts right out of the gate, withholding his playing services from Quebec. Kevin Kurz from The Athletic wrote a huge article on the way that deal went down from a Flyers perspective, and he got to see some notes that were hidden in the archives for about 30 years, and we don't talk about Eric Lindros as a generational talent, do we?
He's right on the cusp, because I think he was so unique. Like I of all like Forsberg, Sakic, Team Mussolini, Kariya, Pronger, like to me he's the he is right underneath, if not on that, right? That's how mm-hmm. much, that's how strong I feel about. But yeah, you're not wrong though, man. Like it's hard. Like it's hard to be an NHLer. It's hard to be. It's even harder to be a really good NHLer. It's even harder to be a superstar, and it's damn near impossible to be a generational
right.
player.
Right.
Like, you know, like if you filled the bus up with generational hockey players, it would be a pretty empty bus. Right? Fill up with Hall of Famers and super, you know, talented guys. It'd be you have to get multiple buses. Crazy.
Yep.
Buddy, well, thanks for this. Have yourself a good weekend, and we'll catch up with you Monday, bud.
I look forward to it, Struds. Have a great weekend.